Herzlich willkommen bei deinem Portalo Fragt Nach Podcast. Interessante Fragen, spannende Gäste und tolle Antworten rund um das Thema Gesundheit. Und jetzt viel Spaß bei der neuen Folge.
Hi everyone and welcome. I'm Angelina and I study health communication in my fifth semester at the University of Bielefeld and currently I'm interning at Team Gesundheit. And just so you know a bit more about me, I am Ukrainian. And this means that today's topic isn't just something I researched for the university, it's something I've lived through and care about deeply. So I'm excited to bring both my personal and professional perspectives into this episode. Today, we are diving into the topic that's actually both fascinating and sometimes, tricky, the do's and don'ts when having conversations with refugees. This idea of this podcast is to help you feel more confident, respectful, and to make you feel natural when speaking with someone who has an immigration background, and of course, not turning it into an awkward situation. So, why does this matter? Well, as of July 2025, there are more than 1,200,000 Ukrainian refugees registered in Germany, and it makes them the second largest foreign nationality in this country. So, this topic is really, really important to us. And when we hear the numbers, it can feel really overwhelming, but each number represents someone's journey, someone's struggle, and someone's hope. To bring these numbers to life, I'm joined by someone with firsthand experience. This is Victoria Loza. She is working at the Unbroken Rehabilitation Center in Lviv, that's in Ukraine. And they help their people rebuild their lives after incredibly challenging situations. So, quick heads up, my guest is thousands of kilometers away in Ukraine. I'm here in Germany, so the sound isn't studio perfect, but we did our best across the distance to make this conversation warm and good. So, Victoria, welcome, and can you tell us about yourself before we jump into the topic?
Oh, of course. Hi, everyone. I'm Vika. I'm 20 years old, live in Lviv, and working at Unbroken Rehabilitation Center for 1.5 years. I work with displaced people and veterans, especially veterans during their rehabilitation. So usually they stay around 3 weeks with their members of family, like displaced people usually, and we offer some different treatments, including psychology, physical rehabilitation, some bureaucracy help, and we are connected to a hospital facility, so usually some operations, if needed, they are conducted there. Yeah, so we are like a hub of different aspects, and we cover almost all of needs of people who just come to Lviv and trying to navigate their life in new place after being displaced.
It seems like you have really busy life, actually, because combining study and working is not so easy. Could you share an example of what your day looks like? How can you combine your study and the work? And this is not so easy work because you often, just need to be there for people, just need to have conversations with people. How do you combine this? What are challenges in your daily routine?
Yeah, so my day starts at 7 a.m. and I do a quick 20-minute yoga and breathing techniques just to ground myself and to prepare mentally to the busy day. Yeah, you said it right. It's a lot of things on my plate every day. So yeah, 20 minutes of sport, then quick breakfast, and 1 hour commuting to my university, UCU, Ukrainian Catholic University, where I study till like 3, usually 3 p.m. And then I go to the Unbroken Rehabilitation Center, where I conduct different things, such as translating the therapy sessions between veterans or internally displaced people with some specialist from abroad, like from the USA, from Canada, Germany also, Swiss, like really a lot of people come to us to help us, to teach us and to learn from us, because our experience is in a way unique, and we just share it freely with every specialist that is interested in it, because we want to be helpful in this way, because you are helpful to us. So we are so grateful. Also, I facilitate the sessions in vibration chair. So it's a chair with some vibrating metal plates.
Yeah, really interesting, actually. Okay, continue. Yeah,
yeah, and you just sit down and lay down. Like, it's almost parallel to the ground. And we give you a headphone and turn it on. So the music waves and the vibration in the chair that chair produces, they are synchronized. So this connection bring your nervous system into calm state. Like when you hear this natural, or usually it's natural, sounds of nature and some calming vibrations. And it's really working. Usually clients fall asleep during these 30-minute sessions, and they're so relaxing afterwards. So it's really cool instrument that we get from the partners abroad. And one more thing, that neurofeedback, it's a head with electrode that teaches you how to use your brain to calm you down, just to don't have intrusive thoughts. It's also really interesting. It's something like mindfulness, when you try to concentrate on something and the response that program gives you teaches you how to like navigate your thinking process. It's really interesting. It's fascinating. I did it to myself one time, and it was really interesting how your conscious is displayed in a screen, and you try to make some different adjustments to like complete the task that is given to you in the screen. So yeah, it sounds complicated, but when you undergo this procedure, it's really not that difficult, but it's fascinating, totally fascinating.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting, fascinating. And based on the things you told us about your responsibilities and how you support people with their daily therapist that they have, I would like to ask you one more question about your experience with internally displaced people from your perspective, from your experience. What is something people often get or do or say wrong when they first talk to refugees?
Mm-hmm. So it's really important question that we ask ourselves usually, because we are still figuring things out. And what I can say from my experience, it's important not to show a lot of pity to people that underwent some difficult situations. It's important to act as equal, to talk to them as equal and show respect to their strength and courage, because they truly underwent some crazy stuff. We usually don't know the whole history of the person, and some bad things can lay inside. And I just have this mental exercise when I just meet, like, make eye contact with a person who is traumatized. I talk to myself, like my inner voice, like, I admire your strengths and I admire your ambition to live this life forward. So the first, like, eye contact with the person, I just repeat it to myself, because I truly admire, and these emotions are reflected on your face, so people can get the emotion, the message you are sending from your facial expression. And it's a good way to start your conversation, like, just to have this small talk from in your head, and then start your conversation with a person and show that you respect their experience and you want to help them.
Yeah, that sounds really good message for us. And I like the idea of speaking with yourself before you start speaking with someone else. And I like the idea about showing the respect, not a pity. Because really, people who have migration background, they are strong people. And they deserved to be respected. What could you say as what people often do or say wrong when they have to begin the conversation with people, like the first small talk to someone? What often people do wrong?
From my experience, one of the most common mistakes people make when they first interact with refugees, it's like assuming that they are only defined by their trauma, or like they are labeled of being displaced. Very often conversations start with pity and with questions that highlights loss or suffering. And refugees are not just their experience. They have a lot of to themselves. We have to, like, not evaluate, but to...
Yeah, just to respect them, maybe. That's the right word. Yeah. Okay. And I would like to ask you, could you give us an example of this wrong question? Like, what we shouldn't ask, or from which sentence or from which question we shouldn't start our conversation? So you said that starting with a pity, or just starting with the equalization, the person with the trauma or the previous experience is wrong. Maybe you could have just, or give us just one example of this wrong question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the main point is to, like, approach them as equal and to listen before assuming to recognize the agency and dignity they have, because they went through a lot. But don't point to, like, some victimhood. Don't be so like pity, and you have to just show respect, just show that you are the person, just show respect and say that I'm here to help you, to do my job, to improve your like experience living there, and just explain what your ambition to work with them is, and to start your like small talk with some kind words like, I'm here to help you, I appreciate your experience because I think it had a lot of courage to go through all these steps, and now you are here, you are safe, and we are here to help you.
Oh, yeah, I like really the idea of sharing a bit about yourself, like, I'm here to help you, and I appreciate what you've lived through. So that really shows us that we should show respect and no pity. So that's the one of the first do's or don'ts, maybe, more that we should do having conversations with people with migration background. So how should we start the conversation with refugees? Should we start directly with the story or with the question, or do you have some recommendations how we could just begin the conversation and not making this like intrusive conversation, not an interview, but just friendly, warmly, and respectful conversation? What should we start with?
Mm-hmm. So firstly, you have to introduce yourself, like, and ask some medium questions, like, how was your day? Don't ask how do you feel, because sometimes people have like difficult emotions and they can just get emotional really quickly because it's a lot of things happening in their lives. So just like some natural questions will be good. And you just explain your job and what you will do with them, how you will help them. And don't make this question time like an interview. I would suggest that maybe you would like to insert some of your experience, or maybe you want to share some experience someone else shared with you, just to normalize their situation, because usually people felt like isolated in their sufferings, in their experience. And at the beginning, it would be great just to say that you're okay. It's normal reaction to abnormal situations, and just let's work with something that we have right now, and I would like to help you to do so. Yeah, so, and it's really okay to be like maybe a bit emotional, just not to be like blank face, not to show any emotions. It's okay to like maybe feel a bit of sadness because of their story or something, but you try not to be so involved. It takes time to learn it, and I'm learning it too, because usually I have this like vicarious feelings when we feel the emotions of people in front of us. But step by step, you will find out how to like distance a bit and try to be helpful, not like just empathetic.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing about that. So building on what you've just said, that's really about balance, not an interrogation or a monologue. We should show also our active listening and just be empathetic, as you said. Okay, The next question I would like to ask, could you share us a story or just an example of really good conversation you witnessed or you've been part of? And how does it look, actually, this really perfect conversation with refugees? And should we then like continue our relationships, or we just need to show the borders like a professionals, or what do you think about that? How we can also like help people but not being really emotional, or I mean, like how we can set the border, because every emotional story has impact on us. And if we work with these people, we will hear or listen to such stories really often. And how we can like have good empathetic conversation, but not to take it with you, for example, home after the work. So what could you say to this question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the most difficult part of our work with people who had some trauma. And at Unbroken, we had this like 4 days course on vicarious trauma. If you haven't heard about it, it's when you truly like absorb emotions and traumatic experience of a person in front of you, and you just feel like almost the same things, the same emotions as they did during your conversation. So it's truly start with your self-care. You have to have some time to ground yourself between some sessions, between some like work sessions with such people, because this tension inside of you will build up, and exactly like at the end of the day, you will be so overwhelmed. So start with some good self-care routine, and it could be like yoga, as in my example, and a lot of scientific researchers says that yoga and some mindfulness meditations and breathing techniques are really cool for your mental health, and you can do like small sessions between your work, like when you have like 20 minutes, you can just sit, relax, and try to like breathe really deep, 4 counts breathe in, 4 counts breathe out, or like some triangle approach to breathing. Yeah, you can Google some of breathing patterns that you can do whenever you want. And we have the approach in psychology called EMDR, and it's an approach that really quickly reduces your anxiety or fear. So there are a lot of techniques to do, and you can tap on your knees, like it's called bilateral stimulation. You can tap your right hand on your knees and tap with your left hand on your knees, and do it in turn, like so yeah, you can also Google this exercise. It really stimulates your brain to feel less anxious and more present. So yeah, it's more like this basic things that you can do within your work, or like at home maybe after your work or before your work, to just prepare yourself to face some difficult experiences, difficult stories.
So you've said something about caring, self-caring, and about mental health. But if we are working with people who have trauma, We often listen to such stories and it stirs in our hearts, and we remember these stories really for a long time. How could we express or just let the stories go from our hearts, from our thoughts? Could you give us some pieces of advice just how we could like remember the stories, but also that the stories do not trigger us when we are thinking about it?
As aspired psychologist, I really suggest you to go to therapy yourself, because working with people who had a lot of trauma, it's difficult. It's true, yeah. And to discharge these emotions, you have to talk through it. Or you can start with journaling. It's another cool tool to use when you want to process your emotions, when you want to process some difficult experience you had during your work. So I call it morning and evening pages. It's like up to you how many pages you will write, up to the situation. And you just sit down and free write all things you think about, all thoughts that are spiraling in your head, or maybe have some like returning patterns and come back each day, or something that bothers you. So you have an opportunity to look through your pages through the time and just point some common pattern, common thoughts that bothers you. And if you can't handle it yourself, you can be prepared with this and come to the therapist, and to tackle this problem will take less and less time because you process it on yourself before, and now you have some like thought about it, some process gone through, and it will take like maybe 2-3 sessions to work it through, and then you will feel some relief. But I would suggest that therapy is a great tool to handle difficult emotions, and if you have an opportunity to go to specialist, I really would recommend it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you 100%, and I think that sometimes journaling or just a session with a psychologist can save the day.
Yeah, and one more remark. It's really cool to spend time in nature. It's like really important thing to do. Like a lot of scientific researchers said that looking through the window at the trees or grass, it stimulates our parasympathetic nervous system that calms us down. So yeah, there are a lot of quick, easy things to just reset your nervous system, such as like looking at the nature through window and journaling and tapping yourself at like shoulders or knees just to calm down. And it's really based on our biology, so it's not something woo-woo. It's a cool thing to do when you're stressed or when you're overwhelmed.
Oh, that's a wonderful message, Tias. Actually, yeah, just spending more time in the nature or outside could help us just to structure our thoughts maybe after an emotional day. So yeah, that's good practical advice for us. Thank you so much. And based on that, I'd like to ask you the next question, because sometimes we are overwhelmed not only with the stories, but also with our own experience. Sometimes when we have conversations, we could say something wrong. And my next question would be, how can we recover this conversation? How we cannot, or how not to hurt the person much more if we did or said something wrong? How to, like, change the gear in this conversation?
Yeah, it's really important to understand and realize that every one of us is human and we can make mistakes. It's okay. And I do mistakes myself usually. Like, yeah, some mistakes are not present, fortunately. After 1.5 years of working with some sensitive themes, but sometimes I also can make some gesture or make some, like, saying about something, and it can trigger the person's reaction. So when you say something awkward, or when you feel that some, like, emotional level is changing between you and your person that you worked with, you just say that I feel, start with I feel, because it's your interpretation of what is going on. It's not the true. It could be really different to other person because we perceive words really differently. So start with I feel that I could make some mistake, or I said something that triggers you or bothered you. Whether is it, like, is it right? If person, like, say no, it's okay, then you just continue to work with them. Or, like, if they say that, yeah, just some memory pop up in my mind and I just have some difficult emotions right now, so you can say that you have your time, it's okay to just be here to live through these emotions and to give this space, like, for, yeah. And after, yeah, like, sometimes people say that it's okay, but you see that it's not okay. And then you can, like, double check, like, okay, if it's okay, can we continue? Or you want to have some time to, like, think about something or something. And if they just give the permission to go through, so we can go. But yeah, it's a really sensitive topic, and you have to have this sense of people's emotions just to understand how they perceive your question. And when you sense that something is wrong, it's okay just to say, oh, I feel that you are bothered by something. Do you want to stop, or do you want to continue? And maybe I did something wrong by mistake or something. So, yeah, it's the rule that don't be so judgmental to yourself, because we are all humans and we have our own experience. We could have a bad day and we just don't have resources to be so positive and supportive. So different days, like, life happens, and you don't want to sacrifice your well-being just to give some comfort to others. It's totally fine.
Yeah, that's that takes the pressure off. Yeah, because we are not perfect. We just need to be respectful, empathetic, and it's about creating safe space for people.
Yeah, and we can't care for others when we don't care for ourselves. It's the most impactful phrase from the last period in my life. I usually talk it in my head, say it in my head, because I used to be so overwhelmed with different projects, with different initiatives, and sleep like 5 hours per night and to be involved in some group sessions, therapy sessions, like translate 10 of therapeutic sessions per day, and it's 10 hours. Oh my God, it's too much. And when you feel that you are exhausted, you understand that you can't work like this in the long run. And what we experience in Ukraine, it's a long-lasting process. And after the war, we will rehabilitate people through like tens of years afterwards, because there are a lot of difficult stories. And you have to just evaluate your resources well and like allocate them in a well way and to care about yourself during this period, because it's a long-lasting process.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful message, and I would say that's a really one of the golden rules of this podcast, just to care about yourself, because you need to care about other people. Like, if you don't care about yourself, you would not be strong enough to take care about others. So that was the golden rule of my perspective.
Exactly.
What about you? What would you say it's a one golden rule for all people who are meeting with person with a migration background? Just what would you say, this short but really sharp message for all of us, just to just what we could do to make this conversation feeling really safely?
I think I mentioned this message before. The message is, whenever your reaction is, it's a healthy reaction to unhealthy things. And normalizing is a really good instrument to comfort people. Because, as I said, usually people with traumatic experience feel so isolated. And they like experience a lot of losses. If it's not a loss of a family member or close people, it's a loss of home, of like freedom, in the case that they like understand it, because their home can be bombed or occupied. So it's a lot of psychology processes that happened in their heads. So it's really important to normalize, to say that like a lot of people go through this each day, and there are ways to learn how to live with this, because you just can't erase the memory from your brain. Our brain doesn't work like that. And you just say that we have such situation and you reacted in such way, it's okay. And now you're here and we will work through your current situation with current resources, and a lot of specialists are willing to help you, included like psychologists and some different occupation that work with displaced people. So we have a facility, we have your back. It's usually important to hear from other people that they are not alone and they have support. It's the best thing that you can do towards people Yeah, and this golden rule that you mentioned, that you highlighted through our conversation, because I returned to it like twice or three times, that you have to care about yourself, because working with people is so emotionally consuming, and it's the highest emotionally involved thing that you can do, to work with people who had traumatic experience. So you do a great job to give them hope, to give them resources, to normalize their life, to learn how to live forward just with their experience.
Yeah, thank you so much for trusting us with that information. So, yeah, and dear audience, thank you so much for listening and for sharing this moment with us. I hope you enjoyed our conversation and you could just, pick up something to think about, to feel, and something you could take into your everyday practice and everyday interactions. So, yeah, thank you for sharing with us this practical, pieces of advice, how we shouldn't do, or how we shouldn't spoil the conversation with people. And I hope we will take this into our interactions and make the experience for people better. So thank you so much. Stay connected, stay kind, and we will hear you in the next episode.
Thank you for having me. Have a nice day.